Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome a first-timer on our show. Shannon Corey is here. Welcome to the program, Shannon.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Shannon is a singer. Would we classify you as a jazz singer?
I would classify myself as a jazz singer at the moment, yes.
Jazz singer and pianist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And composer.
Composer, singer-songwriter.
And very popular and talented person.
Thank you.
Well, I'll
take it.
You're supposed to say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And Shannon has been fairly recently, we'll find out the details, returned to Rhode Island after being all over the world, literally.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Every 3 years.
Well, let's find out. Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
And where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up here. I actually was born in New York City, moved to Rhode Island, grew up here and went to Cranston West, good old Cranston West.
You're one of them.
I'm one of them.
See, I went to Pilgrim, so Cranston West was one of them.
You are also one of them.
Okay, so now you're in high school. Were you singing at that point?
Yeah, I was actually. I had taken classical lessons, piano lessons, my whole childhood. And at about this time in high school, I was not into playing Bach anymore. Definitely just wanted to like cover Chicago and any sort of pop music, Richard Marx. So I'd just sit at the piano and play and sing contemporary music at the time. Started writing some songs in high school for friends of mine. My best friend, I wrote a song for her and played it at our end of the year talent show. And at that point I was like, I think this is what I want to do. And
so
then
that's from there, did you just say, this is it, I'm going to be famous, and went on the road?
Well, no, I actually ended up going to college. I went to RIC for music education, excuse me, because that was something I really was interested in at the time. And then I immediately switched to musical theater and then was like, no, I want to be a musical theater performer.
Did you bump into our friend Edward Marquardt at that point?
I did, okay. Actually, yes. Yeah, yes, he was there.
Been a guest on the show many times.
Oh, wow. How interesting. Oh, my gosh. Wow, that brings me back.
We're going to know lots of people together as we go through this, I'm sure.
Rhode Island's small. I think we will, yeah. And at that point, I was like, well, I think I want to be in New York. So I transferred to New York City to Marymount Manhattan College, got my degree in theater with a concentration in musical theater, and then immediately thought, no, I want to be a musician.
Change of my mind.
It just kept flipping back and forth. So I was working at Theater Row off Broadway when it was just opened, doing bar, tech, load-in, load-outs, anything you could imagine. And I should have been working the bar, but my manager was like, no, go play the piano instead. It's fine. I'll set up the bar. You just play. And I wrote my entire first album on the piano in the bar at Theater Row Studios in off Broadway. And then I recorded it in New York. I got hooked up with Charles Newman, Mother West Records, who did my first record, and that was it. I was hooked. And then I just started residencying at venues. I got a hostess job at Birdland, and that's where I was introduced to jazz and was like, I like this too.
Well, that's a pretty famous place to get a start at.
It was incredible every night. Just, I had no knowledge of any sort of jazz at all in the past. It was all, you know, pop, musical theater, classic rock, all these things, you know, that my parents loved, folk music, but jazz was kind of foreign and then became my next love. So,
yeah, I would think our audience, if they haven't been to Birdland, that they at least know the Manhattan Transfer song, right? That, that talks about it.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So, there you go.
Yep.
Well, you have done us a privilege of bringing some music with you tonight, and we're going to, you know, talk for a couple minutes and then as usual, listen to a piece of music that the artist has brought, and you have a couple CDs, and your website is real difficult to remember. It's Shannon Corey, your name.
Yes.
Music.com.
There you go.
All right. So ShannonCoreyMusic.com, if you'd like to check that out while you're listening to this. And are your albums available on your site?
Yep. You could find them on my website, or you can listen to everything on Spotify.
Okay.
Yep. So what's or iTunes,
this, this
Apple
first
Music.
Song is called Message in a Bottle.
Yes. It's the famous Police cover. And it was the first song I ever played on the piano at Birdland. Ever.
Okay. Ever.
Ever.
I'm sending out an SOS. I'm sending out.
So off air, while we were listening to that, Shannon started talking about, well, then this happened in my life, and then that happened in my life. And I said, we need 8 more segments. But let's take it a little at a time and see how far we can get.
Sure.
So you're in New York, and you're at Birdland at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what's next?
So next, I had a fellow hostess mention about The Bitter End as a place to play live. And I was like, okay, well, let me check it out. Of course, this famous venue. And started talking to Kenny Gorka and Danny Casio over there. And they booked me as a residency at The Bitter End with all my new music, which I, you know, lovingly said, oh, I've played many places before, of course, never having played anywhere before in my life.
Right.
And so got booked and started residencying there and playing original music, and spent 10 years in New York touring, booking my own tours, and then eventually was like, okay, what's next? I toured in Nashville tons of times and was like, I think I want to move to Nashville. And then on my way down, stopped in Philly to see my friend Jessica and never left. And then I ended up living in Philly instead.
Philly is a far cry from Nashville as far as music is concerned.
That
you
is,
would think, right?
You would think, but there was a great scene in Philly and a lot of people came through there. The Cafe Wa was incredible. And it opened my eyes as a singer-songwriter. It opened my eyes to a whole new crowd and a whole new scene. So started writing a ton of new music in Philly. And that was... yeah, that was the beginning of a whole new era. I met Josh Heisel there, who was a good friend of mine. We just randomly played music all the time until I found out he was signed with Neil Diamond's label. He invited me to sing with him on tour with Stephen Stills, and then I just became hooked up with that whole scene and started singing on tour with Stephen Stills.
Well, there you go, as everyone does.
So thank you, Philly, as everyone does.
As everyone does.
Yes, it was quite
right,
the time.
This next song is called Fate. Is that part of what you feel was bringing you to all this?
You know, it was one of the first songs I ever wrote, and it was a reaction to my connection with religion. I was very religious, and then when I moved to New York, I questioned a lot of things, and I didn't really believe in fate anymore. I just thought it was, I don't know, it was just a whole thing you go through in your 20s, I guess. And so it was one of the first songs I ever wrote that got picked up again by Charles Newman in New York. And, you know, he wrote an entire string section. It's just one of the first songs I ever heard my music come to life with. And so it's a special song, I think.
Excellent. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Shannon Corey.
Planning to lose, so why don't I instinctively choose?
Shannon Corey is our special guest tonight on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and pleased to be sitting with Shannon as we talk about her life in music and stuff that's happened in the past and some of the things that'll be happening in the future. I gave her a website at the beginning of the show. It's shannoncoreymusic.com. You can find recordings there and other information and pictures and know what she looks like. And I know a lot of you have probably been listening to this say, well, she must be about 90 years old with all the things she's done, but that's not the case. You'll be very surprised when you go to the website and see her picture. And you're playing locally right now. You played just last night, and you got a couple more gigs at a local place, right?
Yeah, my husband and I have a folk duo called You and Everything, Mike Maven.
So now any of the male guys that are out there saying, look, I just looked her up on the website, and look how interesting she is, and you just crushed them.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
yeah, I know. It was a long time of being quite single, and then I found him, and now I'm home, and I'm here.
Go. All right. So this, I'm sorry. This is going to be at what restaurant?
It's at Luigi's in Johnston. Yeah. So we play there often. I usually play with You and Everything, and also as my jazz duo or trio. So, but last night was You and Everything with my husband, and then we play again on January 28th, and then we do a really nice Valentine's type gig on February 11th. Very romantic.
Cool. All right. So now you have your Valentine plans out there. If you hadn't made them yet, this would be great. Make your reservations early, and you could see Shannon. It'd be a very, very nice night.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll sing you some love songs.
Let's get back to the life of Shannon.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So we now have left Philly, right?
Well, we entered Philly, actually. We entered Philly, and I wrote a whole bunch of new music. Maybe we did leave Philly. And then we left Philly to go on tour with Steven. You're correct. And then I came back and was living in Philly still, singing in a wedding band out of Boston with friends of mine that I had met on the college circuit when
so
I was doing original music.
Singing
on weekends, rehearsing and singing and putting promo material together for a wedding band in Boston, but also part of the Andrew Sisters trio still from Manhattan when I left. So I was kind of circulating between three major cities for about a year on buses, planes. I mean, it was insane. But
so Andrew Sisters, you were in a group that did just Andrew Sisters music?
Yes. It was called the Manhattan Dolls. And I auditioned for it while I was in New York. And we toured all over the country and, you know, did hangar shows and met with vets and performed concerts on big stages. This is where I got to, you know, stand dressed in the 1930s or 40s and sing my jazz ballads.
Well, famous Bugle Boy, right?
Yes, yeah, Boogie Bugle Boy. That was our big one. That's right. Yep. Choreography and everything. It was really, really, really fun. So
excellent.
Just doing a bit of all of it, living in Philly, realizing I was probably not going to survive much by doing this. So I decided just to move to Boston and moved here close to back home, worked for a long time with the wedding band, toured a bunch, and then went on a second sort of stint with Steven Stills, which was amazing again. And then started teaching. This is where I started teaching.
Was it overdue for you to start teaching?
Overdue. Yeah. Well, Philly, well, there was a lot overdue. A lot of my music sort of came out of bad relationships, hence the single for a while. But I got the best music out of these, you know, broken relationships, and so Overdue came definitely out of that.
All right, let's give that one a listen.
Sure.
Oh, I watch you sleep in your black sheets with your green walls and the wet paint seeping through the holes of where again, we started over, and the CDs in their cases look so pretty against the color. All the people I don't know, and the credits start to scroll, and as I hold your hand and watch you sleep, you'll never know this moment. No, you'll never. Watch you sleep. Oh, oh. I watch you sleep with one foot beneath your blanket, and the blue light shines so thankfully on your face and on your perfect winter skin, falling deep between the mattress and the wall, and the pillows start to fall. I know you hate that, but right now, well, I don't really care. And as I hold your hand and watch you sleep, well, you'll never know this moment. No, you'll never know this moment or where I stand. But for now, I'll just let it go. You start to move. I close my eyes and lay still as not to wake you. Typical me. And I hear you say you love me sounds so soft and distant. You're so distant. Oh, oh, oh. Watch you sleep. Oh, oh. I'm starting over.
Shannon, I'm intrigued by the titles of some of your songs. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Overdue, and mm-hmm. we talked about Fate. This next one definitely is intriguing. It's mm-hmm. called The Hug.
Yeah.
H-U-G. Mm-hmm. And is this something that is relevant to your life?
Well, yes. I ended up leaving Boston for a little while and staying at a Buddhist retreat center in Northern California for about 4 months of my life, because it was just one of those moments where I'd come back from Torah Stills and was like, I need to just stop life and breathe and close my eyes and be silent for a little while. And I had the opportunity to. So I went out there with the idea that I just didn't want to do music right now, which is weird, you know, but sometimes in life you just have to stop everything. And while I was out there, I wrote a song. So it was one of those things where life was like, nope, you can't stop. You have to keep doing this. But I had a friend, a close friend in Boston who lost his father, a very close friend, while I was there. And I couldn't be with him. And I just couldn't do anything. And I remember one day, this song just came to me called The Hug, and it was sort of everything I wanted to do, but from California, which was to hug him. And so the music came, and then this other person that was there with me at this retreat center played guitar and pulled his guitar out, and we wrote the song together. And I had another friend that sang harmonies with me, and it just kind of came together. I have a video online of us at this retreat center performing it as a video, and like other friends who had done film came out of the woodwork and shot it. It was like so crazy. We just all got together.
It was a happening.
It was a happening for sure in the Redwoods, you know, like right. in the middle of nowhere right. nature. It was just so awesome. So that's this song. Yeah.
All right. Let's give that a listen. We'll take a short break after that and be back with more.
This song from California to Boston, when you're sad, just hum this little tune. And yes, this song is my hug from California to Boston, and I will be home soon. You live your life, it's so beautiful and free. So it breaks my heart when you're in pain and misery. And I know, my dear, it's got nothing to do with me. I just had to say that this song, it is my hug from California to Boston, when you're sad, we'll just hum this little tune. Yes, this song, it is my hug from California to Boston. This song, it is my hug from California to Boston, when you're sad, I'll be sending love to you. Yes, this song, it is my hug from California to Boston, and I will.
ShannonCoreyMusic.com is the website to go to if you'd like to follow our special guest this evening. Shannon is here playing music that she has kind of grown up with. Mm-hmm. I guess is a good way to think about it. Mm-hmm. We're doing almost a little bit about This Is Your Life.
That's right.
And we've taken her from New York to Rhode Island to New York to Philly to lots of places. And we have more to go. This next segment, if you will, is going to a place that most musicians probably wouldn't think about. Well, there's where I want to go.
Right.
And that is?
It's Warsaw, Poland.
Warsaw, Poland. The, yes. The music capital of the world.
For Chopin, yes. I happened there accidentally. I saw a vocal workshop that was being hosted in Poland, and I just wanted to do something new and travel and try something new again, single, go anywhere you want. So I booked it, went for 2 weeks, and stayed for a year and a half.
There you go.
I went to one Cafe Horrendo, which is a jazz club in Warsaw that had an open mic on the last day I was there. Went in, sang. Michał Soltan is his name, and he looked at me, the guitarist, and says, "You're an American jazz singer?" And I was like, "I am." And he said, "You must stay. I could book you gigs. We could do gigs here." And I was like, "I must stay." And of course, the trumpet player with me that night had a Boston hat on. And I was like, "What?" He goes, "I leave for Berkeley tomorrow." He had gotten accepted to Berkeley. And I was like, this is kismet, right? This is fate that I now believe in. And so I stayed and sang a bunch of, I had been so stunted in Boston musically, I couldn't write anything. I sang tons of jazz with incredible musicians, residency at restaurants, all of these things. And then I just like purged all these songs. I wrote a whole nother EP of music and recorded it and did shows. It was just such an incredible time. It was so wonderful.
It does sound wonderful. And the song that came out is this title, A Poor Little Boy, part of that?
Yes, very much inspired by Jason Robert Brown, who I was listening to a lot of musical theater at the time. And Poor Little Boy.
Poor little boy, out on your own, can't see who you're hurting when you're standing alone. Poor little boy, this love isn't free. Now follow your heart, don't you worry.
Well, Shannon, one of the tough parts of being the host of Conducting Conversations is coming to the end of a conversation. And it's been lovely to sit with you and find out more about you. And I'm sure our audience is intrigued and loving your music and will want to find out more. So remember that you can go to ShannonCoreyMusic.com and find out more and where she's going to be and buy the CDs. And if you feel like sending $1,000 because you like the CDs, you can do that too, you know.
Sure.
Whatever.
I won't argue.
I'll get 500 and you get 500.
We'll split it.
But the CDs are there and the recordings are there and there's some videos and things like that too. Mm-hmm. And remember that she's going to be at Luigi's in Johnston on the 28th of the month. And then again, right before Valentine's Day on February 11th. And that kind of ties in very well with the fact that you'll be appearing with your husband.
Yes.
And so Mike is your husband's name.
Yes.
How appropriate.
Mike Maven. I know.
Yeah,
good,
see?
Good guys named Mike out there.
There we go. There are a few of us. And how did that come about? How did you meet?
Well, in Poland, I booked a cruise ship to sing jazz, which was my next thing I was dying to do, out of a company from England where the boat was docked in Fort Lauderdale. And I came home, got ready to leave, and the storm happened that year and the boat broke, just fell apart. So I was out of job. So I was home without a job, hanging out with my parents, and my friend Jen said, "Hey, I'll book you a SOFAR gig." A music gig. And so I was like, all right, I'll do it. I played the gig the day I was supposed to embark, and my future husband opened for me and he helped me with sound. And we started becoming friends and music friends and put out a lot of songs and videos and then got married.
Well, there you go.
So I'll trade a cruise ship for my husband any day.
And I'm now sure we're happy home. To know that.
Yes, I am sure he knows it already.
But now you're here, you're settled a little bit, and
yep.
not going anywhere too soon as far as, you know, worldwide travel.
But. No, I opened a school in Cranston, so I have a school now, Middle Sea Music School, and I have incredible piano students that I've started to acquire outside of my students already that I have in Massachusetts that I've had for years. And it's,
well, we haven't touted that enough. How do people find out about that?
Middle Sea Music School on Facebook or, okay. Yeah, I think it's just Facebook is right now the only, or Instagram, Middle Sea Music School. But check it out. There are some incredible pictures of my students in their recent winter concert. They're
so this
just
is
wonderful.
Strictly piano?
Strictly piano, singer-songwriter. I'm teaching my kids how to read lead sheets, play classical, sing with their compositions. It's a lot of interactive things.
Well, great.
Yeah.
So if you have a budding pianist in your midst, you know, a daughter, granddaughter, or a grandson, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I presume you're not fussy if it's male or female.
No,
right?
No. Ages 5 to 85. Give me a call.
Really? All right. Well, I fit into that category. Not by much, but I do. Let's wrap this all up, and
sure.
I want to thank you so much for coming in, and we definitely have to do this again sometime.
I would love it.
And maybe sometime in the spring we can find a date. In the meantime, you appear with people like Joe Perillo, who is a well-known name on this radio station because he has his Jazz After Dinner show every Friday night on our station. And you have some recordings with him too, right?
Mm-hmm. We recorded a Christmas holiday album over during COVID and released it and do a concert once a year at the Music Mansion. And Joe is playing piano on most of these tracks. Yeah, he kills it.
Well, there you go. Great. All right. We have time for one more piece. Tell us what this one's going to be.
It's called My Favorite Things. It's the first track off the new holiday album. And it's awesome. I love it. It's me singing some jazz.
And with Joe on?
With Joe and Steve Scott on bass and Brendan Burdens on drums, yeah. And Dave Carroll on horn.
Excellent. You got them all in there?
I got them all in there.
All right, great. Thanks again. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. We'll see the rest of you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Noodle, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings,
These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. Snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes. Silver white winters that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.